Hi, guys. How's it going?
Great intro.
Sorry, there was a little tension going on there. We're holding our breaths. Welcome to episode 4 of The Matchup, a storytelling podcast from St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you for being here, Lucy and Nancy. Hi. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're fine.
We're great.
We're great. We have everything organized and under control, per usual.
So this is the Monday before the episode comes out, and we're all a little wonky because the status of our offices. Nancy, how would you describe them?
I would describe my office as 56.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is very cold. It's like an igloo.
Not an exaggeration.
Nope.
Feels like a refrigerator.
Yeah, all of our offices are very cold right now. But thankfully, we're in the vestry at the church where it is nice and warm and toasty.
So
we get a bit of a reprieve from the cold, which is nice. Hi, I'm Jason. And I want to introduce you to Nancy, the Reverend Nancy Vaders. Hi, Nancy. Hi. Returning back.
Third time, baby.
Third time. And the Reverend Lucy Strandlin. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
I can tell that we're your favorites.
Absolutely.
So I'm doing great.
Good.
I feel good about it, too.
So you both have been on the show before,
mm-hmm.
But you haven't been up against each other.
No.
Yeah. Nancy, thoughts of going up against Lucy?
Well, I'm a little worried because she's like, I don't know. She's like a silent killer. Like, everything's, but she's like, she's always prepared. She's always organized. And so she might just like throw something at me that I just have no response for.
Fair enough. So silent killer, how are you feeling about going against Nancy?
Have you seen her organize a room with
her? She is very organized.
You don't understand.
I'm a little offended, but... I mean, Nancy is the one with like 3 pages of typewritten notes, and I've got like a post-it note with handwriting on it. So I don't feel that organized right now, but I feel very passionate about my choice, so I'm feeling good about that.
All right.
And she's got a giant Bible, folks.
She does have, she does have the Oxford Bible.
For those who can't see it, it's the same size as every Bible.
Nope,
it's a Bible.
To me, it seems bigger. It looks well loved.
So we're on episode 4. Did you all listen to the first 3 episodes yet, which were released last week?
I don't like listening to my voice or other people's voices.
Nice. This is difficult.
I listened to some of them.
Okay. And Lucy, did you listen yet?
I haven't listened yet. I thought about listening before we did this, and then I thought it might... I didn't want to listen to it right before this because if I felt self-conscious about my voice, then I still had to come do this today.
That's fair.
I'm waiting till after. Yeah.
That's fair. So in episode 2,
but you all should keep listening.
Yes, please. Don't follow the example of these 2 priests right now.
What a commercial we have given you.
Yeah.
We will listen at some point.
Because you're going to love it and it's awesome.
100%.
Yes.
So episode 2, we recorded The Worst Apostle. Sarah covered Judas and Nancy covered Peter. Lucy, who do you think is correct?
Well, I didn't listen to it.
I know, but...
I mean, it's hard to not go with Judas.
Oh, the obvious choice. That's fine.
Nancy, what do you think since you presented... Wait, you did Peter.
I did Peter.
Yes.
So obviously, I think he's the worst.
Worse than Judas Iscariot. Who betrayed
you know
Jesus.
What? We wouldn't even be here right now without Judas. So, you know, Peter, we could live without. Judas, we need it. We need him for the story, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I love Peter. He's also one of my favorites. But
is he your choice today?
He's not my choice today because I would just have to flip all the same stories that I told.
Right.
But I do kind of love him because he's so human.
I do too.
He's so gullible and
he's
human.
He's very comforting to have Peter because it's like,
oh,
he became very important. And he's also... just doesn't always get it in the Gospels, and I really appreciate that.
I think I described him in the podcast as a late bloomer.
Yeah, I get that.
As we all are.
Well, I will say that currently voters are agreeing with Nancy. And they're favoring Peter as the worst apostle over Judas.
What?
And for those of you who are listening, if you haven't voted, you can vote by following a link on the description of the podcast.
I think there's some like St. Peter's Society out there that's going to listen to this, and I'm going to get death threats, hate mail.
Yeah, I'm just going to forward it straight to you.
Great. I love that.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So we did Worst Apostle for episode 2. This week we will be covering the Best Apostle. Did you guys have a hard time picking your pick? Or no. Was it pretty quick?
I knew mine immediately when you brought it up.
I think you texted it to me in like our first meeting. I
did
too.
We both did.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought for sure Nancy would choose mine, that we'd have to like both choose a second best option. But apparently she didn't.
Nope. In each episode, our two guests will present their case and we'll talk a little bit about it. And after the episode, you listening get to vote on who told the most compelling story. I'm the only person who knows each person's story and who's going to go first until now.
Oh, my God.
Nancy, are you ready to present your case for the best of Boston?
Oh, he tricked me because I went first last time.
Oh, you
and
did.
I was like, I see what he's doing. He'll make Lucy go first. I do need my phone for part of this. Fine. Yeah. Jason, you know what? I am ready.
I know you are. I'm not doubting
the
that.
The reigning apostle podcast champ.
Yeah, that's right.
Seriously, reigning champ.
For now. Sarah's going to Sarah's going to rig the system.
She's just going to vote for hours. That's
right. Every device in their household.
Okay. So I have a little like intro I want to start out with. Have any of y'all ever had nicknames that you hated? Like, has someone ever given you...
Yes.
What? Okay, I'm ready for it.
Do you want me to say it out loud? Because then people are going to start calling me. And it's funny.
Okay, well, tell me like about when you got the nickname, and you don't have to say the nickname.
It's pretty obvious with my name. Elementary school, ooh, probably, or middle school. Lucifer.
What?
Oh, that's a horrible nickname.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, that is not my name is Lucy, and people say, you know, and people would think it's funny, and I didn't find it funny because it's the name for the devil.
I think it's offensive that some people would call you and be like, what, you don't like that nickname?
Yeah, they just thought it was funny. I'm like, you don't see how that's really hurtful. I mean, Nancy did just call me the silent killer, so, you know, things haven't gotten much better.
Like, Lucifer is worse.
Yeah.
So when,
most people call me Lou, but... I don't know. Off and on. I also get a lot of like, I love Lucy quotes, or Lucy and the Sky with Diamonds, or my dog's name is Lucy, which is great. I mean, that's great. That one's good. I like
my
dogs.
Daughter Sophie gets that a lot. Yeah. Oh, my dog's name is Sophie. And she's like, she really wants to be Sophia. She'll probably change it one day. She's always like, why didn't you name me Sophia? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I just really like Sophie.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, y'all ever had nicknames?
I have nicknames, but I don't dislike them.
This is a story. When I first started here, my initials and Nick Van Horn's initials are similar. Yeah. So I'm NJV and he's NVH. And Darby really did not like that because she's like, it's, you know, it'll be confusing on the calendar when we have,
Darby's
you know,
a former.
Darby being
former rector. Former associate rector. Yeah, she retired.
And hopefully he'll come on the show
Darby,
sometime.
We love you. Yeah. So anyway, Darby was like, I'm going to switch yours to Nan. And I was like, ew, I don't like that. And she was like, well, it's the only way I can tell the difference between you and Nick. I was like, it's not the only way, Darby. And so I let her do it. And then the minute she retired, I love you, Darby, I went into the Google Calendar and changed all the names on vacation back to my initials because I hated that so much. Because when I was in school. Anyway, so nicknames stick. I'm just going to read a couple of these. Because you never know what your nickname's going to be or how people are going to use it.
Yeah.
And so these are a couple that I found on the internet that I love. So this one is, okay, so you all know Batman's Bruce Wayne, right? So this said, saw a thread a long time ago about a work colleague named Wayne Bruce. And everyone for 5 years called him Man Bat.
That's awesome.
And then another one's like, one of my eighth graders called me Ankles because I wore no-show socks. That continued until I recently showed up in a pair of ankle-length socks. Now he calls me Socks. It's been 5 years. So, you know, names stick, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
And so my best apostle is Doubting Thomas.
Okay.
Because he has been stuck with this nickname forever, and there's so much more to him than that. And he's just one of my favorites, and every time I preach about him, I try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I do sometimes call Tom McDowell Doubting Thomas because, I don't know, it's just fun to do. But I think the guy asks for something, right? I have three stories about Thomas, and we'll get to the main one. But he asks for something that his buddies had already had access to, right? Yep. It wasn't like he was asking for this like out of the blue. Like he missed. Did you ever have that feeling where like you didn't get a birthday invitation and all your friends went? It's like elementary school. And oh, it's so great. Her party was so great. And you're like, I would know because I wasn't invited. Okay, clearly I'm salty about that. So Thomas has, the Gospel of John is the only gospel where Thomas, you know, has his story and has his kind of main event. So Thomas is called the twin. So that's what Thomas's name means. Okay. And there's a word attached to that that I'm not going to try to pronounce because I'm not Mark Audra Graves. and I can't pronounce everything. And then here's the mystery around that. We don't know who the twin is. Yeah. We don't know who the other
twin
is. And then there's some conspiracy theorists who are like, it's Jesus. Jesus is Thomas's twin brother. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I don't remember that part in the manger where it's like Mary had two babies and she set one aside and held Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, wow. I mean, yeah. Can you imagine the inferiority complex? Yes. If you were Jesus' sibling twin rivalry. Brother?
Is God. Yeah.
Sorry. So here's the first story. He's got some great lines in the Gospel of John.
I'm ready.
Chapter 11. Jesus has, he's heard that Lazarus, the brother of Mary Martha, is ill, and he wants to go back to Judea to heal him. And the disciples really don't want to go back because last time they were in Judea, they were threatening to stone Jesus to death. And they were like, I don't really want to go back to that. So this is the story from the Gospel of John, and I'm going to read it in a snarky way as if I'm one of the disciples that doesn't want to go. Then after he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going to go again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. It's harsh burn. Mm-hmm. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be fine. He'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, mystery, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So Thomas is 100% ready to go where Jesus is going, be it dangerous or not. He signed up for this gig. He's going. Now, you can read it sarcastically, but there's not a ton of sarcasm in the Bible. I mean, we infer it from time to time. But Thomas is the one. Thomas is the one who's like, forget it, y'all. Like, yeah, it's dangerous, but this whole ministry is dangerous. And Lazarus needs us, and let's go. Let's roll. So he's not trying to get out of it. He's taking his role as a disciple more seriously, threats and all, than the rest of the disciples. And he's encouraging them to kind of like, suck it up, guys. We're going. Love that about Thomas. So Thomas plus one. Second story. And this isn't as familiar to some, but Thomas gives Jesus kind of the intro into one of his most famous one-liners, so to say. So it's after the Last Supper, and Jesus had washed all the disciples' feet, and he's being all cryptic and weird about, like, who's going to deny him and his eventual death. And you can imagine, like, being in that room, you're probably like, it's going down. Like, everything is about to get real, real fast. And so that's kind of the tension in the room, and Thomas is there, and Jesus is starting to talk about, do not let your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And this is one of, you know, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it's not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Intro Thomas. Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? He's so literal, and I love him for it.
Somebody has to ask the question.
Someone has to, because they're like, what's he?
Were all wondering, and he was the one who was brave enough to ask.
That's right. All the disciples are like, what's he talking about? Jesus is talking crazy. I don't know. They just washed our feet. This is weird. You know, they're all like, having these weird kind of off conversations. And Thomas is like, Thomas, you can, he's a hand raiser.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, excuse me. How do we know the way though? Which I love. And then Jesus has his very beautiful response. Mm-hmm. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. So look at that.
I didn't realize it was Thomas that set him up for that.
That was Thomas that asked a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you see, Thomas, what exactly do you mean by that?
I was like thinking MapQuest, yeah. Jesus. Because I think I think they had MapQuest back then.
They
that
must
seems
have.
Like yes. Long enough back.
Jesus, sure. I hear you and I have a few follow-ups to clarify what you mean by I am the way.
I'm sure you can see Thomas kind of take, I mean, this is a big statement Jesus has just made. So I'm sure Thomas was like, I'm going to take a minute and let that marinate.
Journal about it.
I definitely don't understand, but I'm not going to say anything. So again, I love this. Thomas is direct. He's literal. He's not doubting, but he's kind of bravely trying to understand like what this whole thing is about, because he's decided to be a disciple of Christ, you know, at one point in his life. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. Come hell or high water, I'm following Jesus down this road, even though I'm going to ask him, exactly what road are you talking about? So now this is the one you've been waiting for. I want you to hear the Thomas story that we all know, how he got his nickname. But I want you to hear it thinking about these other two references and who Thomas is. So we'll just set up the story. Jesus has died. Things are crazy. The disciples are freaked out. They think they're going to come kill them next. They've locked the doors. They're hiding. They have no concept of what to do. They're just freaked out, right? As we all would be. And so Jesus appears to them and exchanges the peace.
Yep.
And breathes the breath of the Holy Spirit upon them and sends them on this, you know, mission to spread the good news. And they've all seen it. They've seen his wounds. Like, they've had this moment and they're like, oh, whoa. Okay. It's all coming full circle. We're starting to get it. Who's not there? Thomas. Okay. I don't know where he was. Maybe he was out buying fish. It doesn't say. But Thomas isn't there. So here's the little piece of this story. Now, Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, who's the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. And were they excited or were they bragging? It's hard to tell. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe. Okay, Thomas. 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them and the doors were shut. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Okay. Doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
He's living with this from this one story. But can you blame him? Like, he just wanted to have the experience that the other disciples had. You know, can you blame him for wanting this like physical access to God, this person you've been following, this person you're willing to die for, and every other one of your teammates? It's not college football, but whatever. I just watched a lot of it. So they've all seen him, but you? So I'd be a little incensed myself. I'd be like, thanks, Jesus. You know, you think you're all knowing, you knew I wasn't there. So you could have chosen a different time when I came back from the market, but it's fine. So Jesus appears to Thomas. And what I love about this story is he's like, do it. Like, here, you want to believe? Like, here, he's laying it all out for him. And my favorite depiction of the scene is, and I know I brought a visual to a podcast, but is
we'll get it up on the website.
Caravaggio painting and kind of depiction of this, and it's kind of gross. Like, I'll pass, you can record your reactions. So it's Thomas, and he's like literally poking his whole finger into Jesus's side. Like, it's gross. But what I love about it is that some say it's Peter and John in the background, because they're peering over and looking too.
They also want to know.
So they're kind of like, yeah, we've seen it once, but let's just double sure before we commit our lives that, you know, we're going to do this. So I just love that, because Thomas is asking what others might be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Just like when he asked Jesus the way. Like, he wasn't just asking a stupid question. Like, he really, he wants to know, like, what is this all about? He wants, it's very sacramental to me because I think about the sacraments and I think about how they're like tangible things for us to express our faith. And we want those tangible expressions. They're important. And Thomas just wanted that as well. So I love that about him. And that is why I think he's the best apostle.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yes.
And he has a bad nickname and just give this dude a break.
I forgot that there was like an 8-day period in between him like saying that and then Jesus coming back. For some reason, I always thought it was like right there. Like
later
he complained and the door swung open.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't
Jesus
imagine.
Is probably like, you're going to have to wait.
He's like, I got other things to do right now.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. I like it.
Very I like cool. that too.
I love Thomas.
Yeah. I always feel bad for Thomas too. I feel like he's gotten an unfair treatment in history. Because I always appreciate people in the room who are willing to ask the question that everybody wants to know, but is afraid to look dumb, and people who are just like, no, I'm going to ask my question. That's I want right. to get my question answered.
And everyone else is relieved because it wasn't them who asked it, but they right. also want to know.
They were probably nudging him. And I agree. They were probably like humble bragging about when they saw him.
Uh-huh.
Like just totally egging Absolutely. Thomas on.
Yeah.
Hey, Thomas, guess what happened while you went out the door?
It's no big deal, but.
No big deal, but Jesus was here.
It's fine. It's okay. You missed it. No, it's
not. I don't think he didn't believe Jesus. I think he maybe didn't believe them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other disciples. He's probably like, sure, the minute I step out, whatever, guys.
Right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
See?
There you go.
It's a totally normal.
That's true.
Well, I love that. The tactile part too, because John's gospel is such a like the big fancy word is it's got the highest Christology, like the Jesus is divine and there's a lot of emphasis on like spirit and sort of non-tangible things, but in the midst of that, these signs of power and wonder that Jesus does are so tactile, so like the fish and the bread and so that's very fitting. That somebody had to touch Jesus' side and be like, yeah, okay, that's real.
It's like the foot washing. Like, he Part didn't say, you know, I'd love to wash your feet. Totally not going to do it right now, but that's how I feel about you. Like, it's a literal manifestation.
As a mental concept, I support
foot washing.
Foot washing. I'm just not going to actually do it.
So that would have changed that narrative a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was great. So Lucy was surprised that you didn't pick the same person.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah. Do you have any guesses?
Yeah, but I don't want to say.
Why not?
Because I want you to say it. just listeners, they're all looking at me right now.
We're just staring at her.
I'm curious if you're going to be mad at me. I'm wondering if you're going to be mad that if you feel like I didn't follow the rules. But I did, and I will prove
that. And to be fair, there was a clear definition. Like, when we were coming up with these episodes, we had a clear definition of what an apostle was. And we'll share it on the notes.
This only confirms my guess. Okay.
Right,
yeah?
Yeah.
Well, who?
I'm not saying. You're all staring at me again.
All right. Well, let's
okay, okay. I chose Mary Magdalene.
That was my guess.
Well, that's easy for you to say now because you didn't actually say it.
No, that was my guess when you said at the staff meeting.
See it to believe it, Nancy. I don't believe it.
Show me your paper.
We should have had you write it down before. Right. I chose Mary Magdalene. And I really like what you said about Thomas. I do really like Thomas. I think that's an excellent answer. And Mary Magdalene is the best one because she showed up like she was there and none of the rest of, I mean, the other, depending on which gospel you're talking about, there are other women with her, but Mary Magdalene is a constant across all four gospels as a witness to the resurrection. And I love that she just shows up. Like in each of the gospels, it talks about when all, you know, the other disciples had, left. We don't know where they are during when Jesus is actually crucified. They don't seem to be in the scene. There's this like steady presence in all four gospels of women who had been traveling with Jesus who are there and watching. And how hard that must have been to stay and like bear witness to all of that, but they clearly loved Jesus very much and just they stayed. And so even, I mean, for me, even just that would be enough. Just because I think about people in my life who've stayed, you know, been present in like mm-hmm. the worst moments of your life. Like, what is a more powerful message of I'm with you than just showing up even when it's really hard?
Yeah.
So that is major points in my book for that. And then also she's the witness to the resurrection. And the story is told a little bit different in all four gospels. But anytime something is in every single gospel, because all of them have their own things that they highlight and include or don't include. If it's in all four gospels, it's just a thing that I need to pay attention to because clearly it was really important. And so she's always the one who shows up at the empty tomb. And again, with other women who are there to prepare the body for burial. And then there's no body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens a little bit differently in each story. But the one, the earliest gospel we think is the Gospel of Mark. And it has a longer ending that was added on. But in the kind of original ending, the shortest version of the Gospel of Mark, the tomb is empty and they are told by these miraculous figures to go and tell. And it says that they're the women are like struck silent and terrified as you would be when if you showed up expecting yep. to come anoint a body for burial and there's just linen wrappings there. But clearly they did go and tell. And that's kind of the theme with Mary Magdalene is go and tell. And that's why she is an apostle because I don't know. I haven't listened to the other episode, but I'm assuming y'all talked about with apostles, like the definition is one who is sent.
Yep.
And so she is like very clearly sent in the gospels to go share with the others that Jesus has risen. And clearly she does because they find out about it.
Yep.
And so, yeah. And then, let's see, in John, she goes and tells the disciples and Peter and John come back, but the tomb is just empty. And so they leave again, maybe to go be locked up in their room. Like they don't stay to kind of figure out what happened. Like they just leave again. And again, she stays. So she's come, she's seen the empty tomb. She goes and tells at least some of the disciples, they come, they see the tomb is empty. They leave again. She stays. And then that is when Jesus appears to her and they have that conversation where she says, Rabbi, and recognizes him. And he tells her to go and go share the go to my brothers and tell them what's happened. So he's like he is sending her out to go share this news and it's because she stayed. And I love that because I mean all the disciples have their you know all the followers of Jesus have their things, they can be comical, they can be great, they can have moments of sort of like, what are you doing? And I resonate with all that. And I just appreciate that the thing about Mary Magdalene is that she's traveled with Jesus and then she stays even when it gets really hard and then she comes back and then she stays. And because of that, she's a witness to the resurrection and the one who's tasked to go share the news. So even if you're like, don't feel like you're very good at this whole faith thing or the best, you know, at whatever, or the most influential or whatever, like there's something really, just commendable about being steady and showing up, and just continuing to show up. Mm. So
I love that story because she was in just as much danger, if not more.
Yeah.
Right.
Than the other disciples who are like, yeah, we're going to run over here and check this out. And then we're out. You know, her presence and the fact that she did stay. I mean, that was huge. Yeah. She could have been killed just as easily as the rest of them.
Right.
And she knew that.
Yeah. And I also wanted to point out, because you are one of our wonderful deacons, Nancy, that in Luke 8, so this is before the crucifixion and all that, but Luke 8 kind of introduces some of the women who were traveling with Jesus. And it says the 12 were with him as well as some women and named several women. But one of them is Mary Magdalene. And it says, I think our translation is like who provided for them out of their resources. But the word is really like the same word we get deacon from, diaconon. So like they were ministering to him out of their means. So, I mean, there's a lot of like, and we could get into this, like a lot of lore around Mary Magdalene. And but clearly she was a woman of means and she chose to travel with Jesus and like deaconed, like served him, ministered to him. And like with these other women basically made it possible for them to be these itinerant teachers and preachers and travel around and be fed. So some people call her the apostle to the apostles because she's the one who is sent out to tell the 12. But I think it starts before then. Like she's part of this this group who is traveling with Jesus. And one of my New Testament professors in seminary, Cynthia Kittredge, would always talk about like we'll think back over the Gospels and think that women aren't really present. But it's just because often like when we remember the story, we don't remember that they were there. And so if you're like looking for it, if you're looking for the women, they're there. It just hasn't always been how the story is told over and over again. And Mary Magdalene is such a good example of that because she's just there. She's there traveling with them. She's there at the crucifixion. She's there at the resurrection. And just because that story isn't told as much doesn't mean it's not a part of it. And can speak to all of us, men and women alike, of just being steady and present and showing up.
I think too, like I think about women's ordination when you told that story, because, you know, just like naming Mary Magdalene an apostle, women, when women's ordination came about, it's not like we weren't doing ministry before and now all of a sudden we are.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we've been practicing and ministry and being servants of it and lay leadership like that. That was all happening, you know, before we were allowed to be ordained.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very similar with Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's always been there.
Yeah.
Doing a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. A really not really critical job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the term apostle is used, sometimes it's referring to the 12. Sometimes it's used in other ways. Sometimes the 12 are just called the 12 and not called the apostles. So I kind of was like, I wanted to sort of do my research to make sure I was kind of falling within the definition. But just I think that the idea that it's one who is sent and she's literally sent by Jesus, like go and tell, and also by in other gospel versions besides John, by the sort of angelic figures who are there to go and tell. And like that's our job too, is go and tell. I also, Paul refers to himself as an apostle, and he's clearly not one of the 12.
Right.
But in Romans, he calls himself an apostle. And he also refers to Junia as an apostle. In Romans 16:7, he says, "Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives, who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was." And there were some like early manuscripts that tried to, or some translations that tried to change Junia to Junius. So she would sound like a man,
right?
But there are not really records of that being a name that was used at the time, Junius. And so Junia is a woman who Paul refers to as an apostle and someone who was in Christ before he is and is quite prominent. So there were, and that's just one example of evidence that like men and women shared these roles in the early church and these leadership roles. So,
She's painting me right into a corner. Like, I'm not going to...
How are you going to argue? Yeah.
So, Nancy, have you changed your mind on the best apostle?
I don't know that I've changed my mind, but I do love, you know, I've got to be 100% for the ladies. So I really appreciate the choice because I do think people see her as this kind of aside. And she's not. She is probably just as, if not more present than the other disciples. And you're right. She's the first
certainly one. Certainly more present at the crucifixion
she
and resurrection.
100% more present at crucifixion and resurrection. The other guys are like, this seems scary. We're going to go. And she's like, I don't think so. I'm glad to highlight her in that way because I don't think people necessarily do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's on us for just not telling the story. So, I mean, I'm glad we get to do this on the podcast, because it's like, we, these are important stories to hear and to tell. And it's there. You don't have to make it up or, you know, rely on a myth that's like, no, this is in the text. It's backed up.
Right.
Yeah, it's also interesting that she's in all four Gospels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there at the tomb.
Okay, you know, John is fine. Okay, it's enough. It's enough.
John is fine.
Thomas is fine hanging out in the Gospel of John. He's cool with it. It's fine. I'm sure Matthew, Mark, and Luke will be great.
Also, I think the twin is a lot better nickname than Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm so curious about the twin.
Yeah. So many questions.
What if it's like what if he just looks like Jesus or like looks like somebody else? And they call him the twin because he looks like
somebody. Yeah.
Well, and there was this other, because his name was Judas as well. And so some people are like, well, maybe they're just trying to differentiate him from Judas Iscariot by saying, oh, he's the twin. But still, like, the twin of who? Is it because their names are the same? Is that why you're calling him the twin? Like,
how come no one else got a cool nickname like that?
I know.
But the Sons of Thunder.
There you go.
Yeah. That's right. When you started talking about nicknames, I was like, did you choose James and John when you were Sons doing the nickname? Thought that's where you're going.
Dear biker gangs who may be listening, this is a great name for
Sons
you.
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
That's it.
I'm giving it to you right now.
Thank you, both of you. That was awesome.
Oh, good.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it. So there you have it, guys. The case has been presented for the Best Apostle. And now the power is in your hands. In the episode description and notes is a link to a poll. Let us know who you think told the most compelling story. Next week, we jump into October, which means we get to start on all of the spooky episodes, which I'm really excited about. So please come back and listen. I think the episodes are great. Please like and subscribe if you want to hear more. You can learn more on our webpage, thematchuppodcast.com. Please follow us on Twitter at The Matchup Pod, and also make sure and join our Facebook group, The Matchup Podcast, for extra information. And like and subscribe and do all the things. And complain that Nancy and Lucy haven't listened to the podcast yet. So.
You know, we're going to.
We will.
Aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, we promise.
Good. Absolutely. Maybe not my episode, but yeah.
I know, that's the thing. It's like, I'm on every episode, so I don't have a choice. I have to listen to my voice.
You have a great voice, Jason.
You do.
No one likes hearing their own voice, I don't think.
It is true. I don't like hearing that. Every time after I preach,
like hearing other people's voices either.
Yeah, voices in general. In general. I just prefer complete silence.
On that note.
We'll leave you with some silence.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks, Jason.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
See ya. Bye.